said amen?
Well, it is a slightly different day today because it's Vision Sunday. So I want to give a very welcome, a warm welcome to those who are joining us at church online. But much more than that, I want to give a very warm welcome to those who are joining us from the Southeast Campus. Just every now and then we do a live stream. We're doing a live stream right now. Great to have you guys. If you're able to see some of the footage that was happening as Stacey was ministering that song, we had lots of images from Southeast Campus there as well. I'll be with you in 2 weeks' time. I'm preaching here at Burwood East next Sunday, and I'll be with you there for the 26th, I think it is, and I look forward to seeing you then. But today's Vision Sunday, great day, great opportunity to reflect on some of the things that God's doing. Just to move us into the first space. Oh, sorry, Southeast. And it's your first birthday at Southeast. I know you got the bounce castle. Let's celebrate the team. I hope you can hear that. We are cheering you on. Well done. Yeah, good celebrations happening over there today. So, John chapter 4. And if any of the text is in grey, can I please encourage you to read it out loud with me? I'll try and measure my speed appropriately anytime we get to something in grey. It says, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Now, there's been lots of very appropriate emphasis over the years of being rather than doing. We are human beings. We are not human doings. And it's about our identity in Christ. We know who we are and therefore who God calls us to be. But if we overemphasize identity at the expense of activity, we can become very passive. We can just lounge back in the armchair and declare I'm a son or a daughter of the living God and just, you know, God will do everything. I'm just enjoying being. And that, like, sounds nice, but it will get boring after a while. And Jesus spoke here. He said, my nourishment comes from, saying again, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. So there's absolutely a place, and just hearing the words of Jesus here, there is a nourishment that comes from our hearts in doing the will of God. And those who engage in that way experience the reality. You know how the Bible says, while the outer person is decaying, you know, some of us know the reality of that more than others. I'm not going to point at anyone. I could look in the mirror to know the reality of that. The outer person is decaying, but the inner person is being renewed, do you know it? Day by day. And there's a nourishment that takes place inside our hearts. And Jesus said that nourishment comes from doing the will of God. He says, who sent me, and by finishing the work. It's always very important. At verse 35, he goes on and says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. Now say it with me, the fields are already ripe for harvest. The fields are already ripe. Now, in lots of environments, Christian environments around Australia, that statement doesn't carry an air of reality of faith. Because in lots of different environments, it's very rare to see a person put their trust in Jesus. That's sad, but it's true. As part of the challenge of Christianity in Australia is that Christianity feels rather stuck at large as far as seeing the faith transfer anywhere. And these words of Jesus, you know, wake up and look around because the fields, they're already ripe. And some kind of look around and they go, I see militant secular humanism that's very aggressive and kind of anti-Christian. I see kind of global uncertainty in political spheres and I see some religious fundamentalism that's kind of terrifying the global community in lots of different spaces. And you know, it kind of doesn't feel ripe. Now, it just depends on which eyes you look with. Because those sort of dynamics, global dynamics, let alone local dynamics, can actually position a person's heart towards greater openness. I met with the heads of departments on Monday morning. I do this every Monday morning. We meet, we have coffee, and we tell stories of the activity of God from the last 7 days. Good news stories. And our faith is built and we're encouraged. Like having a good cup of coffee and hearing God's stories, what could be better than that? It's awesome. And then we pray together. Like just this Monday gone by, as I opened up the space, I said, who wants to tell us some stories about what God's been doing for the last 7 days. And someone said, oh, well, look, youth just from the previous Friday, they said, we had 4 young people put their trust in Christ for the first time. And I went, oh, that's absolutely awesome. Like just a couple of days ago, they had almost 370 young people here on Friday night. Like, that's awesome. And then someone said, oh, I know a doctor in the congregation who just reported that he's led 4 of his friends to Christ in the last few weeks. I said, oh, that's awesome. Then someone else said, oh, Lillian Carlin, who's back from, she's one of our international workers. Lillian, who's back from Serbia right now, she's just about to head back to Serbia, but she's only been back for 3 months. She's about to lead a big baptismal service all by herself because she's led 20 people to Christ in the last 3 months. Now, there's the gift of evangelism at work. Everyone's like, oh, wow, my goodness. And then Edie and I said, oh, well, we met a guy in the foyer last Sunday because I encourage people if you want. I said, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey. If you want a Bible, go and grab one at the welcome desk. And a guy, he was an Iraqi refugee who came to Christ in Jordan in a refugee camp. But he's now been in Australia for a decade. But he had his friend with him from Albania, a woman, and he'd helped her put her trust in Christ just 3 weeks ago. And so story after story after story after story of being told. I just spotted Lillian Callan. Lillian, stand up. I want to celebrate you. Stand up. This is Lillian Callan that I was just celebrating with her broken arm. I tell you what, you want to talk about the gift of evangelism amongst some of our international workers. Lillian's doing an amazing work. Disciples at Multiply, people doing Discovery Bible Study and planning out groups all over the place. And Roger and Delphine Sook, I don't know. I know Roger and Delphine have just headed back for a couple of months. Roger and Delphine reported to me that they believe they've seen about 15,000 churches planted now, equating to about 450,000 people responding to Christ in a formerly unreached people group over the last 7 or 8 years. They're Crossway workers, and that is awesome. That is writing history. That is writing history. And wake up, Jesus says, get your eyes up, and please hear this. For all of the challenges that's happening in our global and local community and the like, The opportunity right now is phenomenal. It really is. Great opportunities that are before us right now. Last year, we closed off all of the books and everything, 502 people put their trust in Christ last year for the first time, 405 through Crossway, another 98 through Praxis. And it was the best year we've ever seen for people responding to Jesus for the first time. It's fantastic. So get your eyes up. Get your eyes up. Verse 36, Jesus said, the harvesters are paid good wages. Now, that's not actually speaking about church staff. That's speaking about... we do our best. The harvesters are paid good wages. This is actually about eternal rewards for those who are stewarding the good news of Jesus well. The harvesters are... that's in Greek. Come on, say it with me. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. See, there's an eternal reward for stewarding well the gospel of Jesus. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. So I wanted to start there as we're talking Vision Sunday, because I wanted us to lift our gaze and realize God is doing something extraordinary amongst us right now. He really is. We are living in the midst of it. And I feel, let me say this by faith, I feel that we're only just touching the edge of his garment, but already the blessing is flowing like crazy. I'm going to guess and say 5 to 10% of us, of Crossway, have realized, and therefore 90 to 95% are still in the, I'm looking there, but I haven't quite stepped there yet space. But even with 5 to 10% of people realizing they can use a phrase like, I'm looking for somebody to read the Bible with, I don't know whether you'd be interested. And folk have never led anyone to Christ before, now leading people to Christ and saying, oh my goodness, it's like some keys just got put in my hand. If your friend says no, that's okay, you go where the interest is. Someone says no, you go, that's okay, that's fine. Because someone will say, that is a fantastic idea. I got told this week about a young guy in his 20s who threw that line out in his workplace and two people from his workplace said, I'd like to do that with you. And it's that type of story that throws my radar up. I go, oh, yay, God. Yay, God. Something's happening. Because it's when the mission of God is in the hands of ordinary people. And rather than that kind of, it's like Goliath taunting the armies of the living God, and whereby that little voice in the back of our head says, anybody but me could do that, or somebody else but not me. And the voice inside of us says, I can't do that. And I want to say to you, lift your eyes. Like, the opportunities right now are phenomenal. You'll be glad to know that we pushed back our 3 weeks of prayer and fasting until after Chinese New Year celebrations this year. So for those of you who've put on 2 or 3 kilos over the last fortnight, now is your opportunity to deal with that challenge. But let's pray and let's seek God, because the opportunities before us are manifold. So when God spoke through Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 19 said, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And God, I want you to hear this. God is doing a new thing amongst us. He really is. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I want your faith to rise today. There are towns across Australia which no longer have a worshiping community in them. And Praxis now, over the last few years, has now planted 40 simple churches as a result of mission into the harvest. That word praxis is a Greek word for acts. And so we're looking at the acts model, where it's pioneering apostolic leaders. They lead with the gospel. We're trying to be disciples that multiply through praxis. You know, we have 10 groups of people now meeting together to do discovery Bible study, which is not a difficult idea, discovery Bible study. Discovery Bible study, you know, I'm looking for someone to read the Bible with, you want to read it? And someone says, yeah. You open the Bible, you read a passage, you read it a second time, and then you say, how about you put that in your own words? Close it. Let's put it in our own words. We try and speak it in our own words. And then we open it up again. We say, is it saying anything about God or about us? Like, and is God saying anything into our hearts? And let the person you're with identify things that are standing out for them. We back edge it with, what are you going to do? It's obedience oriented. What are you going to do with what God's showing you? Who are you going to tell? And as a result of those last couple of steps, we now have 10 groups led by a pre-Christian person. So someone who's not a Christian yet, leading a group of people where they've all got the Bible open and they're reading it together. And what's God saying to you? And what are you going to do? And who are you going to tell? Praxis has 10 groups now led by pre-Christian people with not a Christian in the group yet, and seeking to steward entire groups of people through the faith in Christ. I just want you to know this. If a pre-Christian person is starting to outshine you on the evangelistic edge, it's time to pull up your socks. That's a slightly awkward giggle, wasn't it? It's just a little close to the bone. But I want you to know it's not beyond you. God is doing a new thing. And this wilderness or this wasteland of Australia, as far as kind of spiritual appetite, is beginning. God is making a way. Believe it in your heart. Begin to step into that zone and you'll discover his hand at work. So God's taking Crossway. This is something that is happening right now. It's been happening for a few years, but I'm prepared to declare it right now. God is taking Crossway from being a large church to an influential church. This is something that's happening right now, multi-years. So last weekend, physically, there were almost 4,500 people who came through the facility last weekend. And look at this. Can I say to this congregation, this is really maxed out. There is room at 8:45 and 11:45 and 6. There's room at all. This is the service where it just totally hits capacity. It's hard to park. It's hard to find a seat. If you're a young family, and if you were to choose to change services, anchor at 1 for the sake of your children, because they get the same life group leader week by week, yes? But if you don't have primary schoolers or preschoolers, you might be able to make some space. Longer term, we do have intent to double the facility by opening that, which is actually a temporary wall, and doubling the size of this auditorium. And we've spoken about that at board and at property level. That's kind of the once-in-a-generation activity, maybe 2020 or 2021. But we'll do it sooner if we've got financial resources. That's just a financial resource issue. We actually have more than enough financial resources, but right now they're just sitting in our accounts. The resources are there. God's graced us with it. We haven't released it yet, but that's okay. We'll get there. And so we'd like to double the footprint so that more lives can be touched. But God, now, why do I make this statement? God's taken us from being a large church to be an influential church. Let me give some substance to that. Here are things that are happening right now. Firstly, this idea of building a discipling culture. We've been leaning into this domain 5 to 7 years now, developing some strategies, some language, some will, and some ways. And we're at a point now where we're doing twice a year intensives, a 2-year initiative called the Learning Community. So churches will gather twice a year for 2 years, 4 gatherings for intensives on figuring out how to build a discipling culture. We now have 150 churches across Australia who are doing that and another 30 in New Zealand. We're providing the strategic leadership for that. It's right across the denominations and it's across the nation. And that thing has ramped up quite a steep, expansive curve in the last couple of years. And your home, your family, us, we are leading that, providing the strategic lead for that. And God's doing a really good thing through that. Some very simple things about disciples that multiply, like Discovery Bible Study, missional communities. A missional community is not a complex idea. A missional community has spiritual parents. They have a predictable pattern, like they meet on it fortnightly or monthly or whatever, and they've got a clear purpose on what they're trying to achieve. And that's a missional community. So one Crossway couple has just opened up their garage. I got told this week gone by. In Dandenong, they have a proclivity to be amongst those who are doing life in the toughest way. They've opened their garage on, I think it's a Friday night, kind of as a drop-in place, and they've formed a missional community around that. You know, parents with patterns and purpose. And we do huddles as our leadership development vehicle. I'm not going to tell you that much about that right now because I need to keep moving. Coach is another move from large to significant. A coach is someone who's a friend with purpose. Now, many of you here at Crossway have trained as coaches. Many of you, we carry a constant load of about 100 folk who are trained as coaches, and we pair with families or Crossway or coach for youth, where it's a 1 to 2 hour a week commitment to be a friend with purpose, to help them reach their life goals. A fascinating thing we've discovered is that at Crossway here, almost 2/3 of people who are coached end up in Christian community. I guess it shouldn't surprise us, should it? But the specific purpose of it is to help them reach their life goals. But as a byproduct, 2/3 of the people end up in Christian community. There you go, okay, that's an awesome program. But it doesn't stop with us. That's now being used by 55 churches across Australia. We're currently waltzing quite a significant group. They want to sign up. I could just about announce it, but until we sign it, I'm not going to announce it. But a very significant group in Britain are going to steward it to Britain. And that'll see quite a rapid expansion in Britain. There is interest in other countries as well. When we get in Australia to about 150, 155 churches, it'll just about be self-sustaining and it'll develop its own momentum. And we provide the strategic lead for that. That's a significant thing. And part of the reason it's significant is because it's mobilizing mums and dads, young adults. My two youngest daughters are trained coaches. They're coaching teenage girls who are doing life in a tough place. It's a brilliant initiative, and it'll sweep very far and wide and do very well. How about Think Orange? Think Orange, think Margaret Spicer. Incite wonder, provoke discovery, fuel passion, church and parents partnering together for the discipleship of their children. An outstanding initiative. Margaret is on the international think tank and leadership of that thing, which is now sweeping far more broadly, and she's been quite catalytic into that environment. If you know Margaret, that won't surprise you very much. But it's being used by 106 churches across Australia. And we're seeing the impact of that, like our internal impact is really high, but just imagine that as a broader impact, let alone things that Margaret's pioneering that's starting now to kind of seep sideways, and others are getting this idea of like a Big Step Sunday. Declaring twice a year, letting the kids know in advance, Big Step Sundays, 6 weeks away, it's 4 weeks away. We have children arriving with their parents saying, I'm going to take the big step today. and having parents and children in the same space so that parents get to pray with the children. We have had children lead their parents to Christ at that moment. We had a grandparent come to Christ on a Big Step Sunday. We had one of our youth volunteers who had a couple of mates from school with him to come and look at what he does when he volunteers at church, and he led his mates to Christ on a Big Step Sunday. It was directed at primary schools. He's leading his high school mates to Christ. And that was some pioneering thinking that Margaret's doing. It's seeping out to other places as well. Also taking Think Orange generationally up through the layers. Margaret's been a lead thinker in this as well. And so Think Orange, which is direct, primarily was about primary schools and preschoolers. Okay, all those kids become youth. It's just a matter of time. Okay, what's Think Orange mean for youth? What's Think Orange mean for young adults? So again, it's quite influential what she's doing there. Praxis, I mentioned Praxis before. Praxis has been growing for the last 4 years or so at between 35 and 45% per year. It's not bad growth, is it? And quite expansive in its initiative. I spoke to it already. 40 simple churches have been planted. Last year, we saw 98 people put their trust in Christ for the first time. It's now operating in Australia, Hungary, Singapore, USA, and with interest from other places as well. Pastor Dave Lawton and Colleen Lawton are doing a brilliant job in providing the spiritual and strategic lead for Praxis. I'm on the board with that. If you know Toby Hall, he chairs the board for that. Church Online has been used by people from 190 different countries, and I'm pretty excited as we're about to start taking this messaging through Facebook Live. It'll be kind of like Church Online Lite. We've had 91,000 people like us on Facebook Live, and we're going to start pushing sermons just like this actually live and pushing it to those 91,000 people who can then on share it if they like, and it will be an exponential expansion of the impact of that. And in that environment last year, we saw 105 people put their trust in Christ. You can't do it casually. You've got to take a next step. You've got to fill in a big form. You've got to say, I want to put my trust in Christ. You've got to submit it as an email. You get a response. It's not a casual response. It's quite an active response that's taking place in that environment. Care ministry, this is a bit of an unsung hero. But what got put in place in care ministry, and Pastor Megan Stock provides strategic lead for this domain, is actually being adopted by multiple other churches because of how functional the care ministry model is that's been developed here to help us to develop a culture of care. And Pastor Megan says to me from time to time, can you just let the congregation know more about care ministry? Not so much that you could be involved, but you can, of course. You can join the team. But there are five teams: crisis care and extra care and hospital care and practical care and creative care. You tell us how you want to care for people. And at any one time, there are like 60 to 70 care situations that are being managed by those care teams. Key leaders over the whole lot, one staff member, ministry in the hands of ordinary people, developing a culture of care. It's a good thing. And if you have a situation or you know of a situation where a person needs to be cared for, just get the information to us. There are volunteers who are there who are really happy to be mobilized. It's part of our demonstration that we love people. Crossway Resources is another kind of expansive edge of influence. We're just starting to do our refresh works. The refresh works that we approved at the November members meeting, which are all a strategic step ultimately towards an expanded facility, is going to bless our generational ministries. It's going to bless our Asian ministries. There is a recording studio in there as well. And that will allow us to develop things. So, for example, Crossway Songs. We did a songwriter's retreat just recently, and they came back with 17 songs, some fully written, some partially written. If you were at church 2 weeks ago, and there were two guitarists and a female vocalist who did a beautiful song, that was one of the songs they just wrote. Someone went Googled the lyric, trying to find where they could get it, and they came and said, I can't find that song. It's like, that's because it's not being released. But this is where influence through that domain, through things like our Christmas and Easter production, where the creative team just do this brilliant job all the time. And I know Kale and Colette are here somewhere with Third Door Productions, which is a missional community out into the artistic world, kind of redeeming the arts and redemption through the arts, and some brilliant stuff that happens with Christmas and Easter. Part of the mandate of the big church is to create stuff that small churches could never create, but they could use. And so the development of Crossway Resources, other resources more broadly, particularly in the discipling domain, is also in there. And then finally, This is something God's doing in changing us from large to significant. It's pastoral leadership development. Now, we don't shout about this, but we've been doing this for the last 5 years. Edie and I have been doing this. We take away 6 to 8 senior pastoral couples. You can't come without your husband and wife. You've got to come as a couple, and you can't bring kids unless you've got a newborn. And we do it over 3 days. We do an intensive, and we don't advertise it. We just tap shoulders. And we target people who themselves are influential or bright-eyed, bushy-tailed coming through. We can see the hand of God on them because they will exercise influence. And we speak into their worlds at different levels, head, heart, hand, and how to build a discipling culture. And we're seeing the impact of that being quite far-reaching. And that thing books itself out about a year in advance. And we conduct that up on the central coast of New South Wales. In partnership with a couple up there. So these are things that God's doing. It's across Australia, it's across the denominations, those who participate in that. Now, in light of that, if it is, and I don't even want to say if it is, in as much as it is, and this is, can I say, this is us. It's not them, it's not somebody else who's doing that. This is us. This is coming out of your spiritual home. This is us that this is happening with. So, what's God going to do amongst us in 2017? Well, it will be a year of growth in multi-domains. A lot of those domains I just spoke about are well-positioned and are showing a fairly significant growth curve. We're going to press further into this discipling culture and disciples that multiply. We're pressing that further. We're improving the functionality of our facilities downstairs. You can always give to that, and it's that kind of over and above. It actually, this work, right now, if there's anything that's hindering the work that God's currently doing, it's not the spirituality, it's all prayed over. It's not the functionality of the strategy, or that it's, whether it's been seated in God, or whether it's been fruitful. All those things are happening. Our limiting edge right now is finance. And that's, can I say, probably the most frustrating thing for me, because I know we've got heaps of it. So this edge, this expansive edge of what God could do, and where's the challenge? It's in our wallet. And our wallet's full. So I can only say that so many times, but I do feel it. If you want to encourage me, you want to encourage Eddie, you know, pray for us. That's number one. Pray for us. I really appreciate it. Give would really help. Okay? So that was supposed to be a little bit funny. Sorry. And extending our church online through Facebook Live, I mentioned that as well. Extending care ministry into funerals. Can I say, each year, kind of 24, 26 Crossway, people go to be with the Lord. And frequently in that space, we're trying to get around the family, but an external professional funeral company, frequently a secular funeral company, come and kind of waltz in on that process. And so what we've said, and we're looking for a partner in this, we're having some conversations with a Christian group right now where we're saying to them, we will do the people side. We know how to do the people side. We'll do the people side. When a loved one goes to be the Lord, we'll do that whole people side, all the soft side, all the organizing of the event with them to celebrate the life, etc. We don't want to do the hard side. Hardware, which is like a mortuary and a hearse and things like that. We don't do the hardware side, but we want to extend our care cradle to grave, and we're just kind of pushing a little further into that zone so that we can care for our own people, especially at that period, rather than having a secular multinational company come in on it. And of course, the Crossway Resources, once that studio is developed, that will be something that we can move with. So what's it going to be a year of for you? We're talking about this year as a greater purpose. We believe that God is calling us beyond ourselves, and we're seeing the fruit and impact of that. So what's it going to be for you? Can I just say to you, and actually as I do this bit, communion stewards, can you please start to distribute communion elements? You can listen to me while these elements come around. I'll speak to communion shortly. Firstly, what can you do? What's your next step? Get on board. Join the team. Worship and serve. We've had a couple of incidents in the car park in the last 6 months, can I say, and we're going to look to improve our traffic flows. You'll see this. I hope it doesn't take us long to get this thing established. We're going to start doing controlled traffic flows. We'll put big arrows, but we need volunteers out there. arrive a little early, be part of the welcoming team, be part of the car parking team. I had so many people coming in this morning and saying to me, oh, it was pretty hard to get parked today. And we've had a couple of dangerous incidents. We want to deal with that, but it involves volunteers. Worship and serve. You're coming anyway. Come a little later, or earlier. No, don't come later. You're too many doing that already. Don't come later. Come earlier. Please come earlier. Come early and have a cup of coffee. No, come a little earlier. Be part of the greeting teams. We've set up in the foyer today a Join the Team space. You can also just go online. It's really simple. You see down there in the corner where it says volunteers, join the team. Worship one and serve one. And let's release a whole lot of capacity through that. Secondly, become a member. It's not a difficult thing to be a member. If we're your spiritual family, step in and get that acknowledged. Again, we put the process online. We personal edge it at the back edge. It's not a difficult thing to become a member. There are three messages to watch online. Me preaching a belong series, what it looks like to belong. There's a little form to fill out, church stuff to read. And so step in, become a member. And then can I say this, number three, just picking up my point earlier, edge your way towards tithing. The last thing that gets converted is our wallet or our bank account. It really is. Now, so materialism has more than laid hold of our hearts. And that's just part of the reality of being in a materialistic and wealthy society. So it does lay a hold of us. And to land this disciple-like thing of saying, God, and this is as best I understand the scriptures, the first 10% of what I earn is His. It's not mine. If I keep it for myself, I feel like I'm stealing it from Him. It's His. And therefore, I reposition my expectation on what I have to live on. And then as God graces and promotes us, we might even have the capacity to give beyond that and trade into, again, it just depends on, but it's proportional. The widow's mite makes all the difference. Do you remember last year in about August, I said collectively, we're about $125,000 behind, you know, what it was costing us to operate for what had been given, which sounded like an awful lot of money, didn't it? Until I said, you know what would have made the difference? Is if just on the weekends we're at church, each of us gave $1.25 more on the weeks we were here, that would have covered it. And I heard people go, oh, because $125,000 sounds like a ton of money. $1.25 doesn't sound like a ton of money, does it? Please affirm that, someone. $1.25 is not a lot of money, is it? Edging our way to proportional giving. As the Lord has blessed me, so I give. Proportional giving and realizing you might feel like that $5 doesn't make any difference. It makes the world of difference as far as the expansion of the mission. There's no other place that a dollar comes from apart from the hearts of God's people as God has blessed them. And by faith, we choose to give. Learn that process early and it will bless you and bless others for many years to come. It is a year of greater purpose. I can see the stewards are still getting the communion about. If you are able, take in your hand. At Southeast, bless you guys, I'm so glad we're able to do it like this today. Take your communion in your hand. Communion should be a time of the outpouring of the grace of God, because the Bible says the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. If there's ever going to be a moment where past failures are released, guilt, failure, dirtiness, unworthiness, and it could be as recent as last night or this morning, anything that you'd feel that would hold you down or hold you back or separate you from God, realize He took the first initiative in Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to give everything so you can be set free. You can be right with God. You can know forgiveness of sin. You know, clean, a free, a spacious heart. So this right now is a moment, and I think this is why He said, when you gather together to do this, this is a time of dispensation of grace. This is a time of realizing afresh in our own hearts, by faith, what Jesus has done for us. If you choose to eat and choose to drink, you say, Jesus, what you did on that cross, you did for me. Okay? Well, let's know the reality of that right now. Let's eat and give thanks in our hearts for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful to you that you came to be the Savior of the world. For every person who puts their trust in you, doesn't matter what racial background, nationality, age, education, financial status, religious background, no religion, it just doesn't matter. You came and you shed your blood for anyone. The love of God is offered to all. So even now, by faith, as we drink, we say, Jesus, thank you. You shed your blood that I can be washed clean. Let's drink together. We're grateful, Lord God, that you call us into a greater purpose. We stand in awe and wonder that you, the living God, can take lives just like ours and make such significant impact in our city, nation, and the nations. Jesus, may your name exclusively carry the honor of what you are choosing to achieve. So we bless and praise your holy name. And God's people said,